In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is a life of prayer, but not all prayers are heard by God favorably. The Lord taught his disciples how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount when he taught them the Lord's Prayer, and most of us know that prayer by heart, and if we don't know it by heart, we should. But the gospel reading that we just heard is what he said immediately after he taught them the Lord's Prayer. The prophet Isaiah said, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you." And Proverbs says, "He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even he has made his prayer abominable." We have to be in a right relationship with God for him to favorably hear our prayer. And the first step is for us to repent of our sins. But God will forgive us our sins, we are told in this gospel reading, the same way that we forgive others. That's what we're told in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then in the gospel reading, it basically repeats that same point. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. But beyond our asking for the forgiveness of sins and forgiving others, we also need to be purified in our hearts for our prayers to advance beyond the simple doorway of repentance. And to do this, we have to be aided by fasting and almsgiving. St. Augustine calls these the two wings of prayer. St. James the Apostle says in his epistle, "Ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." In other words, that you can get whatever you're asking for and just do your own pleasure with it. That's what so God's not hearing your prayers because you're focused on yourself. Fasting and almsgiving helps us turn away from ourselves and look to God, and to have a different focus, to see him as the source of our being and not ourselves, and not us as the center of the universe, but God. Saint Seraphim of Sarov was once asked by a mother for advice on finding a husband for her daughter, and Saint Seraphim told her, "Find a man that fasts. If he doesn't fast, he's not a Christian, whatever he may choose to call himself." And when people hear that, they may say, "Well, that sounds very legalistic. That's trusting in your works. Are you trying to earn your salvation by fasting?" No. But fasting, if a man fasts, that means he's learned how to say no to simple desires. And if you can't say no to a hamburger, then you're probably going to have a really hard time saying no to a more serious temptation. Fasting develops our ability to say no to things that we want. Also, the Lord points out that it's not just up to us as to whether or not we're going to fast. He says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance." Fasting is a central part of what it means to be a Christian. And sometimes Protestants will look at the seasons of Lent, and they'll say, "Well, this is contrary to what Christ said in the Gospels, because you're making a show of your fasting." And they try to downplay the necessity for us to fast together as a group. You should do it secretly so that no one knows what you're doing. Well, the thing is in the Scripture, there are fasts that are proclaimed. There are kings of Israel that proclaim fasts for the entire people for various reasons. And also, there are fasts that were appointed by God in the law of Moses. And the Apostle Paul, in the book of Acts, when it's talking about his journey to Rome, it says, "And then it was after the fast." And he's referring there to the fast of Yom Kippur. So Christians observe the fast. When I was a Protestant, growing up, raised in the Nazarene church, for us, the closest thing to a church father was John Wesley. And I remember reading about his life and that he fasted on Wednesday and Friday. And this biography I read said he did that because that's what they did in the early church. And so when I was a teenager, there was a period of time when I started fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays because I thought, well, if they did it in the early church, it must be right. Well, they did do it in the early church, and it is right. That's a very ancient custom that we find referenced in the Didache, which is, many scholars say, written in the first century, certainly one of the oldest documents we have outside of the New Testament itself. And so this regular discipline of fasting is something that Christians all went through. And also the 40 days of Lent was a universal practice. Long before Constantine came along and the Protestants believed that somehow he changed everything, well, in the First Council of Nicaea, which is where supposedly all these changes took place, they mentioned the 40 days of the fast in passing, as if everybody knows what they're talking about. They didn't say, hey, wouldn't it be a good idea if we fast for 40 days? This was already a universal custom. But what Christ is talking about when he says that we shouldn't make a show of our fasting is that we should not enter into the fast sadly. He says of the hypocrites, that be not as a hypocrite, as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The point is that we're not to make a show of it. We're not to make sure, if our focus is to make sure that everybody knows that we're fasting, we're doing it for the wrong reason. And besides that, fasting is really a time of joy. When you hear the hymns as we prepare to go into Lent, and when you hear the hymns after the liturgy during the Forgiveness Vespers, it talks about entering upon the season of the fast with joy. It's a time where we draw closer to God. And even though it's a time where we deny ourselves certain things, it is a time that we look forward to. If you've been an Orthodox Christian for any length of time and you're trying to do what the church has told you to do, it's something that you do have a certain excitement about. One thing that's interesting is I've noticed, as I've been an Orthodox Christian, that church attendance always picks up during Lent. And then sometimes you don't see people after Pascha. Well, that's wrong too. We're supposed to celebrate the feast. We're not supposed to only do Lent. But why is it that so many people come to church during Lent? It's because this is a special time and they want to participate in that. But the feasting is also part of that. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Fasting without almsgiving is trying to fly with only one wing. If you withhold good things from yourself on one day, but then you indulge in those same things that you withheld yourself from the next, you've learned how to delay gratification, but you've not really learned to do without. You're just postponing doing with. And when we enter into the fast, one of the things that we're supposed to be doing is the money that we would have spent on steaks and hamburgers and all that other stuff that we would normally be eating, we're supposed to be using that money to give more to the poor. We don't only give alms during the fast, but we should give more alms during the fast. St. Augustine says that we are beggars before God. We have nothing. And we come to him and we ask for his mercy. And he says that God will treat his beggars the same way that we treat our beggars. When we come before God and we say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, we're begging for his mercy. And he will be merciful to us if we're merciful to those that are around us. He'll treat us the same way that we treat those beggars that come to us and ask for mercy. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When we give to God in one way or another, we show where our heart is. And we give to God in various ways. We do so by supporting the work of the church. We also, for example, when we have a fellow believer who passes away and they made no provision for their funeral, we've had this happen in our parish where people out of charity, love for God and love for their fellow man, will pony up the money because they want that person to have a proper Christian burial. That's another way that we give to God, even though it's an indirect way. But when we give to the poor, the scripture tells us that we're lending to the Lord. The proverb says, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given, he will pay him again. So God will repay you for whatever you lend to him by giving to the poor. The Psalms say, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness abideth unto the ages of ages. His horn shall be exalted with glory. And the wisdom of Sirach, or the book of Ecclesiasticus, as it's also known, says, lose thy money for thy brother and thy friend, and let it not rust under a stone or be lost. Lay up thy treasure according to the commandment of the Most High, and it shall bring thee forth more profit than gold. Shut up alms in thy storehouse, and it shall deliver thee from all affliction. It shall fight for thee against thine enemy better than a mighty shield and a strong spear. It's not rocket science how we should go about living the Christian life and how we draw closer to God. If we forgive, we will be forgiven. We're to fast with joy to please God and to turn away from our selfish lust, and God will reward that. We're to be merciful, and if we do that, we'll be shown mercy. And if we let our prayers fly with the two wings of fasting and almsgiving, God will hear our prayers and draw nearer and nearer to us. Amen.